In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a very happy Easter, everyone. I wish you and your loved ones, family and friends a very blessed day, and one filled with God's hope, promise and life. And of course, as an extra bonus on this Easter day, we all got an extra hour's sleep. Not the people who arrived at 9 o'clock at the end of the 8 o'clock, ready an hour before the 10 o'clock. But hey, we're all human. I trust that there has been an adequate serving of chocolate in each of your households. If not, please be assured that diabetes await. There is an Easter egg hunt immediately after the service for the younger children in the garden. So I hope that the younger children will help us find all of the Easter eggs that have been hidden in our garden. Now, those of you who know me will know that I'm a bit of a news junkie. I read it, I watch it, I listen to it when I'm ironing lots of my black shirts, and I try to draw as best as I can my own conclusions from a range of sources, from the centre, from the left, from the right, to figure out what is happening in our world right now. And one of the conclusions that I have drawn most recently is that too much is happening in the world right now, and so much of it is not good. I ache at the plight of so many of our sisters and brothers in places of violence and warfare, in Sudan, in Syria, in Ukraine, and the Middle East. And perhaps, like your good selves, I find these conflicts overwhelming, vast, intractable, of which I can only pray and watch and protest. And there are times, I admit, when it all gets a bit too much for me, and so I stop watching the news, I stop listening to it, I call them media blackouts to restore some sanity. And then, inevitably, I'll find my way back into the swing of things through comedic takes on the news. Charlie Pickering or Ronnie Cheng on The Daily Show, who I knew at college, and he was funny then, and he's even funnier now. And recently, Ronnie was interviewing an expert on AI, and the expert said, "Would you like to know the good news?" Ronnie said, "Yes." And the AI expert said, "Well, the good news is that I had predicted that AI was going to get rid of humanity completely in 5 years' time, but the good news is it's now 8 years' time." And I almost caught myself laughing, and then I thought to myself, no, that's not good. And I added it to that list of things that I am afraid of. And running headlong in opposition to what we are afraid of the world in which we find ourselves today, is the message of Easter, a day of hope and of light and of new life. And a repeated message of the gospel set for today is this: do not be afraid. Firstly, the angel addresses the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid." Later, Jesus himself tells the women, "Do not be afraid," even though they have just experienced something both extraordinary and frightening. In that light of being not afraid, let me share with you two reasons why the resurrection of Christ makes a profound difference to our lives and can transform fear into hope. Firstly, the resurrection of Jesus is unique amongst all the other miracles recorded in the New Testament. not unique simply because of its power or its unlikeliness, but unique because it is the only miracle that has a direct impact on every single person for all time. And this is because Christ's resurrection is the first of the resurrections that is promised to every single one of us. And therefore, unlike all the other miracles, which you kind of had to be there to be a part of, resurrection is a miracle in which we will all day, one day, partake. Now, we can never really know by tuning into the news what happened during the night that meant that the Easter tomb was empty come Sunday morning. We cannot presume to know the mystery nor the physical facts surrounding resurrection. We just know that God did something extraordinary and life-changing for us. However, the gospel is clear to point out that this is not a resuscitation of someone who'd sort of fainted or was sort of half asleep, or that resurrection is purely a spiritual event. It is not purely spiritual because, as we hear, both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary recognize Jesus when he greets them on the road. They recognize him and they can touch him. They embrace his feet, the gospel writer records. Please note here to all the men here in the congregation, the message of the resurrection in the gospel is entrusted to women first. To women first. Jesus announces, the angel announces to women the message of the resurrection, who then go and tell us men. Just in case anybody suggests, for example, that our new Archbishop of Canterbury shouldn't be a woman. This resurrection of Christ shows us that God believes in restoring the material, the earthly things like bodies and creation, not escaping from them into some spiritual realm. And it also means that God is about absolute resurrection of the dead. We're not simply talking about the immortality of the soul. We are talking about a dead person being made live again, whole body and soul. And that is what we look forward to at the end of life. We are to be made new and beautiful like Christ. It is something that will transform all of our deaths into life with God. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the wonderful Archbishop of Cape Town, said when he was questioned about whether he feared for his life during his opposition to the apartheid years in South Africa, he said this: "There are worse things you can do to a Christian than kill them." There are worse things for a Christian than death, because even death is transformed by God into glorious new life in Christ. Secondly, the reason that Christ's resurrection makes a profound impact upon our life is that apart from being a sign of what we will one day experience, it has also changed the course of human history. You will have noticed that in Matthew's resurrection account, he tells us that the women at the tomb experience an earthquake and they witness that the stone has been rolled back and a lightning bright angel has appeared to them. And you may also recall from Good Friday that in the account of Jesus' death, Matthew describes at the moment that Christ dies, the temple curtain tears in two, rocks split apart, and the dead come out of the graves around Jerusalem. Matthew is making a very important point here. This is an event that shakes the course of human history. Because in the death and resurrection of Christ, we see an event take place that should have been reserved for the end of time. But God has chosen instead to intervene in human history, our history. And God shows us in Christ what will happen at our end and at the end. That life wins. God wins. That life in him will come. So I hope we can see that we have no reason to be afraid in the presence and the face of a God who can transform even death. Like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Christ's resurrection should be so real to us that we are never afraid of what the world may bring us, or of our death, or of endings. If we really believe the Bible's witness, we believe in a God who can transform all things, even death. And if death, what is there that the Almighty cannot transform? In Matthew's Gospel, the message to the disciples was to go to Galilee, where Jesus would have gone ahead of them. They were worried about life. They were worried about the future and what might happen to them as followers of Christ, as maybe we do too. But just as Jesus said to these faithful followers back then, he says to us these comforting words: "Do not worry, I am going on ahead of you. For wherever you go in life, and whatever it holds, even death, which will one day come to us all, Christ has gone ahead of you, and the promise, the assurance, the reality of our resurrection remains. Do not be afraid." Happy Easter, everyone, and God bless you.